Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
50, man. Yeah. That's insane. That's right? Crazy. Yeah, this month, I believe.
It's 50, yeah. And so...
started in a boogie down.
Hip-hop obviously was born well before it reached where I grew up in the suburbs of Long Island. But it was there. And the way it got to me was listening to, you know, radio station on Friday night, Saturday night. You know, Cool DJ Red Alert, right? Marley Marl, Mr. Magic, yeah, all that stuff. And I know it sounds like the Biggie song, but that's what he said is legit. Like Juicy, it's Juicy, that's yeah. Literally what it was. That's how you heard it. And so I didn't know it until I heard Run DMC. It was the very first actual hip-hop I've ever heard in my life. And like, it's like anything. You hear something for the first time, and you either like it or you don't. Like, there is no acquired taste.
Yeah.
Acquired taste means you tolerate something. And so you either liked it or you didn't. It's Tricky wasn't the first song. My Adidas was the first song. Ooh. My Adidas hits, and I'm just like, what is this? And that's it. And it's all it takes. I'm hooked right from it. And so anytime I hear Run DMC, and I know, like, there was a time there Run DMC got a little played out, and then they weren't really cool for a while. But then I give Pete Rock all the credit because he turned around and did a couple of remixes with them. Down With The King is like that brought them back. Down With The King is an incredible track. And I give Pete Rock all the credit for kind of reestablishing Run DMC as the true kings. But I said that with anything, like it's the first – and I don't think – have you ever experienced something like that where it's now mainstream but it was never heard before – and you heard it for the first time. I imagine it was like if you in the 50s when rock and roll became a thing. And for the first time somebody heard it and they just knew like Elvis and stuff. But for me, the very first time I heard hip hop, and it was my Adidas Run DMC, and I was just, I'm all in. I wanted it all now. I wanted, give me Big Daddy Kane. Give me, you know, give me Public Enemy. Give me all of it. And everything I heard, I loved it all.
I mean, even the creation of like hip hop stations where you could turn to one single dial and just hear that type of music all day wasn't a thing.
Did not exist. So, they would have shows on certain stations like at night.
And you would get some pushback on playing certain records.
Of course.
Like, oh, that's not what.
Yeah, we're not playing that.
That's
not
what the soccer moms want to hear.
Adelphi University had, they would do that. They had their radio station would play hip hop on certain times. And actually, Chuck D. He was there. Like he actually worked that station. So did a guy named Jeff Filippi, who ended up becoming executive of MSG Networks.
Ooh.
At the same time. Like it's crazy, right? Worlds, you know, cross. But I'm saying it's unique to have heard something for the first time. And hip hop, it was like the first time. Just like the first time you heard rock and roll, the first time somebody heard jazz, the first time somebody heard like whatever it is. You either know you love it or you don't. And I feel fortunate, and my generation should feel fortunate, like we got to hear a new sound that is now part of the mainstream.
Part of the culture.
Part of everything. It's not even, like, it's part of the world, part of music. It's, like I said, I don't know how will we ever have something like that again, right? What will be created that we've never heard before?
Like a just anything. Because I'm thinking just sonically.
Music?
Yeah, like a style of, I guess... Well, now there are like nuances, two genres, right? Like you'll have like drill, new thing, and not new, but it's relatively new,
right?
In rap, so there are
right, but it's a subgenre.
Yeah,
it's not a separate genre.
Yes, no, it's
not a hybrid,
completely
like
different thing.
Like you know, like hip hop is a hybrid of rock and jazz basically, but still pretty cool. I know I went off on a tangent there, but I heard Run DMC. I thought I'd share that.
Shout out to Jacob.
Yeah. That's true. He's doing a great job today. All right, it's hour number two. It's Bart and Han. Ty Butler in with us. You keep looking at your watch. It's as if, am I wasting your time?
No. It keeps buzzing, and I'm trying to figure out how to silence it.
A watch?
Yeah, it just keeps buzzing, so it's like throwing me off.
Usually I just have to wind my watch.
It's buzzing.
So still buzzing is the news about Aaron Rodgers being with the Jets. And despite what our guy Ray Deanhan has to say about how no one in the country will care if Aaron Rodgers wins the Super Bowl with the Jets, except for Jets fans. And first of all, no one will look at that as one of the most remarkable stories. Tom Brady won a Super Bowl in Tampa. It wasn't only celebrated in Tampa. That was a pretty big deal by everybody. Tom Brady won a Super Bowl again, and he won it in Tampa. Aaron Rodgers escapes Green Bay and wins a Super Bowl in the place where, like, a barren wasteland of football, and he won a Super Bowl there.
Yeah, Mark Messier won with the Rangers. No one cared.
No one cared.
No one
Only
cared.
Ranger fans cared.
Only the Ranger fans cared. What it would do for its
LeBron
legacy.
James went back to Cleveland, won an NBA championship.
Only Cavs
and really only Cleveland cared about that championship. Like I really don't see that.
Now, you can say in 2019 when Kawhi brings a title to Toronto, only the Raptors fans cared.
Wait. Only Raptors fans cared, and even people who like Kawhi were like, yeah, whatever.
Wait. Like it's Kawhi.
Wait, was that the last time he played an NBA game? I can't remember.
Because he's been load managing since then. But for Rodgers, I mean, you can do this with any all-time great. This guy, since he won his title in Green Bay in 2010,
yeah,
has been maligned for, you know, awful playoff losses, bad teammate, you know, body language, behavior.
Oh, yeah.
There are people like Bill Barnwell who said the Jets offseason overrated.
Overrated.
And part of that is you don't have a belief in Rodgers being able to come here and do something of significance. So if he's able to bring a championship, like, forget the New York part of it. If one of the all-time great quarterbacks who for the last 13 years has been criticized for not being able to get it done again comes to this place and does it, everyone's going to care about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I absolutely think it is a big story. It's not just because it's in New York. It's because it's for the Jets. Like, can we understand
and
where
it's
this
Rodgers.
This franchise was in a place where Le'Veon Bell said he was getting high
before games
and realized, wow, coaching does matter in football.
It's it's Aaron bleeping Rodgers.
Right. So I disagree with that. But you know what? Who cares what you think? Who cares what I think? Who cares what Ray Deanhan thinks? What about Tom Brady? What does he think about Aaron Rodgers going to the Jets? This is TB12 on SI Now.
He's one of the great quarterbacks to ever play the game. So him going to a new place with a new opportunity to go out there and prove himself, I think he's going to do a great job. It's a tough division they're playing in. They've got the Patriots. They've got the Dolphins. They've got the Bills, who have been great. It's always tough to bet against Aaron Rodgers, too, because of how prolific he is as both a passer and he's a Super Bowl champion. So it's going to be a great division to watch.
A great division to watch, but he stops short of saying anything about what he could see happening with the Jets.
Because it's the Jets.
He hates the Jets.
And you are the Jets until you're no longer the Jets. We got to see you do it first.
Is that like the Saints? You're the Aints until you earn that
S-back?
Like
the Browns, the Mets. Like, there's certain
Who?
Franchises.
The Jets?
I mean, that's exactly. What it's always going to be.
That's just, come on. You really got to do that?
We always do that.
But I'm saying, no, him. Like, he really has to laugh that way.
Well, it was the media that actually laughed.
Who? The Jets?
Yeah, and then you hear that.
Well, because I thought there was a real shot he could come here. I really did.
Tariq Hill?
Yeah.
No, he used you as leverage.
No, but I'm saying before we learned that, like when the all news along first,
knew, all along
when
we
the
felt
news
that was
first
leverage.
Broke, always. No, I thought, hey, there's a chance. You keep looking over my shoulder, it's getting me nervous.
Am I? I don't mean to be doing that.
I feel like no. I got to watch my back, like you guys are planning something.
No, there's nothing being planned. I'm dead serious. There's nothing being planned. You know, I'm so used to it because Bart's generally by now shopping or ordering something online. So he's very busy while talking to me.
Or eating into the microphone.
So I'm not used to eye contact as much during the show.
Or maybe Bart's not even here yet. Wait, it's only 1:12. Bart's still using the bathroom.
No, he's on time.
He's still using the bathroom. It's only 1:12.
You're the worst. So anyways, on Rodgers, let's just get through some of the sound from today's OTAs. Robert Saleh talking about Aaron Rodgers and, of course, the calf. Any concerns about his health, though?
Yeah, he's fine. Just doing a bunch of rehab, just hoping to ease him back in, hopefully get him full on Friday for sure next week. I still argue he's still a young man, the way he takes care of his body. I know his body is not his age. We've got to do a better job just making sure we communicate with the players and understanding where they are at certain points. But we'll always look to modify if we need to.
Like I said, you know, he hadn't participated in OTAs in 3 years. Does he actually need to be on the field throwing footballs and running through plays? Or is his presence alone enough for you? The buy-in is what I care about. And he looks extremely bought in.
No, we need to make sure he still has it. Because all of the football world told me he was washed, he lost it. So I need to
you
see
need
him
to throw the pro
be
day
able
season?
To make those throws.
Yeah.
Want to see what his 40 time is. Want to see if he still has the ability to command the huddle,
right.
Read defenses. We need to see all of that. Maybe it should actually still be a quarterback competition. You got Tim Boyle. You've got Zach Wilson.
Streveler. You never know it's Streveler,
well, Streveler
man.
Lit it up on, against him. The Jags. He come lit on, it up, man. On, that 76-yard drive that ended with 0 points, it was a spark to that offense. So I think we got to see it. We got to see a little quarterback
competition. I don't think so. I think he walked into the quarterback room. He looked at Zach Wilson.
This right? is what I'm up against.
You get the coffee. And he looks at Streveler. You, dozen glazed. Toot sweet.
Chemistry.
Me and Boyle are going to talk about the offense with Hackett.
So what is chemistry? Chemistry is, listen, Garrett Wilson, get open. Don't drop the ball. Breece Hall, love that you're on track to come back week one. Don't fumble. That's chemistry with Rodgers. It's all over.
Speaking of Breece Hall, after Robert Saleh gave a very optimistic update about him and that he thinks he might be ready for week one, he might be ready for training camp. Breece Hall gave this little update.
It's going. It's going good. It's been good to get back out on the field, running around, doing drills, starting to cut and stuff, and feel like myself again. You know, just progressing every week, so it's been good.
It's remarkable. Remarkable that, like, he's cutting. And honestly, it's incredible when you think about where he was 8 months ago. No, eight? How many months ago was that now?
Against Denver?
Yeah.
What's that, November?
Yeah, that's
so
about
that's 7 months?
7 months ago?
Yeah.
That's remarkable. So that's great to see. Now, also for Breece Hall, having an Aaron Rodgers around as well, you talk about all that stuff, the chemistry part of it?
He's a jokester. He's actually really, really cool, really funny. Actually, we make fun of each other a lot, so it's been cool to be around him. And I went to the Rangers game with him and Alan and Tim, and that was real cool. That was real dope. We got pizza and everything, and I was talking to him, and he said it was just cool because we were in the city. He said it was cool for him to just walk around like a normal person because he wasn't able to do that for the past a million years. So, so yeah, it's been me and him have actually gained like a real good relationship, so it's been cool to be around him.
Hanging out with the boys, that's your chemistry.
In the city.
That's what you're talking
at
about.
At the Knicks playoff game. Here's what I was
those
saying.
Were the days when the Knicks were in the playoffs.
We got to bring it back down to earth because we're all on this tremendous high, and I mean us Jet fans. So since I was born, you're going to find this fascinating. I was born in 93.
Yeah.
The Jets, in the last 30 years.
You were born the year I graduated college.
Make you feel a little old?
A lot old. Go ahead.
So it's not the gray hairs. it's the fact that you graduated college.
Well, it's that reminder, yeah. I don't have to see the gray hairs. You do. Go ahead.
So in the last 30 years, Jets made the playoffs 7 times. 7.
It's amazing.
And some teams, all they know how to do is make the playoffs. Like they
Steelers.
You know,
Steelers. Find a way.
The Patriots all these years. Mm-hmm. All they know how to do is make the playoffs.
This is where it turns.
7 times have made the playoffs in 30 years.
The New Orleans Saints used to be like that. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, creamsicle, they used to be like that.
The Colts,
the Patriots once were like that.
Yeah,
I mean, these franchises
there are certain
have been
organizations
bad.
That just know how to do it, and you can almost by accident sneak into the playoffs with an under 500 record.
Yes.
Like we've seen that.
Yes,
the Jets haven't been able to do it. So to bring it back down to earth is. I love it. I love to hear teammates laughing and they're eating pizza and they're walking around.
But, come on.
None of it is going to matter.
Oh, this is the Yankee thing.
If through the first 6 games of the season, which are really tough, you are 2-4 or you're 1-5.
I don't mind 2-4.
2-4?
I can live with 2-4.
I can't.
Because you can recover from 2-4. Let's remember
Brady
at the start. Of that Tampa season, that first one, the one they ended up winning, they didn't explode out of the gate as this best team in the league.
Well, we never felt like they were not going to win that division. This conference.
Oh, okay. You're referencing the fact that it's a lot more difficult.
There's no growing pains that you can experience because there's too much firepower in the AFC.
If the Jets were the Giants, right?
In the NFC.
Like, let's just flip the stories. And if the Jets were the Giants, it would be a much different story.
Absolutely.
Which is what makes, of course, the take that you got. Do we have it from Dave Rothenberg? Where Dave is obviously our resident diehard Giants fan.
Or supposed diehard.
Supposed.
Yeah, because you wouldn't be disappointed.
So this is what Dave said. He and Rick were talking this morning about the Giants and expectations. And on their show this morning, this is Dave's reaction to whether or not the Giants take a step back.
Most of them point to the Giants as the team that could take a step back. Playoff team that doesn't make the playoffs.
I think the Giants could – this might be a weird thing to say, and stay with me here. A better team without a better record.
I could see that.
Like, I think you could look at them and be like, boy, Daniel Jones is better this year than he was last year, and the defense is better, and Thibodeau is better, but they have a tough schedule, and they won all those coin flip games they won last year. What happens if you go 500 in those games?
Now, that's – Bart has said that. Anthony Pusick, who's also a Giants fan, obviously the great producer on the K-Show, he said that. So most Giants fans have this same take of what I see looks better, but because the schedule's tougher, they might lose games that last year they won, right? Close games, because they're just out-talented, because the schedule's tougher. So he's saying that's what he could see. I didn't hear him say he'd accept
it.
He goes on.
Rick says you get to week 18,
yeah,
well, that's and right. you miss the playoffs. He says you'll be disappointed, and Dave says, yeah, I guess so. Maybe I have to see how it plays out, and I just I can't comprehend that.
Yeah,
because
I got a
all
problem
I
with that.
Hear is how great Brian Daboll is, how much you trust Joe Shane,
right?
And you know, you just paid your quarterback like he's one of the best in the league. You've improved on both sides, defensively and offensively. You love Kafka. You love Wink. You're happy that you were able to retain them.
Mm-hmm.
There is so much that you love about this team.
You added Waller.
You're probably going to get
DeAndre Hopkins.
The chance you could get him. You'll have Shepard back this year. Slate. You've got a much more. Just call it a significant upgrade with your receiving core.
All right, the cop
all of
out.
These things you love.
Yeah.
To say that after going to the not just going to the playoffs, but winning a playoff game, if you now turn around and on top of everything I just laid out that you love, miss the playoffs, you're like barely disappointed.
Yeah, here's the
that's
why
a horrendous take.
Here's why it's a cop out. It's not a horrendous take. I think you're taking it really far. Horrendous? No. Cop out? Yes. Here's why. Don't say, I have to see it. No. Because what you're going to see is, at worst, losing close games. What's more excruciating than losing a lot of close games? Now you start to say, oh, Daboll made this mistake. He made that mistake. Things happen. By the end of the year, you're now wondering, we lost all these close games. What? Like, we got a problem with the coach. Or it's Daniel Jones' decision-making, turnovers. There'll be a reason why you lose these games. It's easy now to say, you know, if they lose a bunch of close games, those are better teams. It's easy now. This is it's the summer. We're not thinking about it. But in the moment, when we're in the fall, especially week 18, like we're in December and you're kind of hovering and maybe you got to win a couple and you're losing games to the Eagles. Maybe you lose one to the Cowboys. You lose a game to the Bills and you're losing these games. Because they play the AFC, right? It's the AFC, NFC East. They play each other.
Yep.
You're going to lose games, and you can't say, well, we'll be a better team, but we'll lose games. I get what you're saying. You'll see like an improvement in the offense. You'll see more skill. Whatever it is, but I'm sorry. You're going to lose games. There'll be a reason why you lose them, and it will drive you crazy, and it will lead you to overanalyze. Why are we losing close games when last year we won them?
And you
can't just say the other team's better. You got better.
Exactly.
If you're telling me that we could be better but still have a losing record or lose more games, wait a minute. If you're better than you were last year but you're not good enough to beat your schedule, how is that better off?
And I would be able to accept that if you were in the AFC where there's a ton of legitimate firepower.
Look,
where
the
you
Jets,
can say we're the odd team.
The Jets
the
could lose games
out.
This year that you could say, you could chalk up to an experience. Because other than Rodgers, it is a relatively young team. Let's be honest, right?
Yes.
It's not like Rodgers is going to throw it and catch it. He still has to rely on guys.
Some veterans with Lazard some, and Cobb.
Got some, but you just, you know, like Uzoma, you're still wondering. Conklin. You're still wondering. But I can't look at the Giants and say to myself, wow, they look better this year, but they're not winning as much as they did last
especially
year.
Especially after you just paid your quarterback.
How could both happen?
And you love your coach and you love your GM. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. And a conference that, let's be honest, it's Philadelphia, it's San Francisco. Let's throw Dallas in there. They always make the playoffs.
Dallas always finds a way to hurt themselves.
Yeah, but they make the playoffs.
Detroit's going to be tough, but well, I don't know what you're
but
getting
it's three,
there.
It's three teams.
Minnesota's good.
Love. Three teams you love to make the playoffs.
Yep.
You got four more spots. You mean to tell me it's not a massive disappointment if you miss the playoffs, knowing what happened last year?
How many wild cards are there now?
There's four.
Four wild cards.
Seven teams that make the playoffs.
Yeah, four wild cards. You can't get one of them?
Exactly.
You can't get one of them.
And get Detroit.
And if you don't get one of them, you're just going to be like, well, we were a better team this year than we were last year. You were?
You got to see it play out. That's why I say it's a horrendous take. You don't have to see it play out.
Honestly, I don't love it.
And he said, if they finish 9-8 and miss the playoffs, you can't be mad. Yes, you can be mad.
Hell yeah.
You could be very disappointed.
Yeah, I don't like that because you're, again, how did you lose those games is what I need to see. Are you losing games to these better teams? Now, I got to look at the Giants' schedule. But are you losing these games by like 14 points because their offense is just better than yours or whatever it is? That's different than you lose a couple of games because of late game execution. That'll drive you crazy as a fan. Crazy.
Yeah.
So what's better? Close losses or losing by two scores and then realizing we ain't good enough?
What's better? I mean, they both stink because what we always say, bad teams, especially in football, find ways to lose in the final minutes because usually it favors the team with the better quarterback.
Yeah.
So if you're out quarterback, like I can understand you getting swept by Philly. You haven't beaten the Cowboys since Dak's rookie year.
Right.
So even if you go 0-4 there, but me even talking through this, you should be better than 0-4 against those teams. If you've made this much progress,
you should.
You love your coach.
Why is Dallas that much better than you? Why do you believe Dallas is that much better than you?
Because they got a ton of talent.
Do they?
Just, their head coach is just a buffoon and can't figure out clock management.
Their quarterback kind of makes you like, eh. And then Pollard is coming back off an injury.
Yeah.
Like there's it's not as obvious. I mean their defense is good.
Yeah.
Their defense is good. But your defense is better. You made additions there. Thibodeau should take a step. I don't know. Like I'm with you. I don't think it's a bad. I think it's a cop out.
It's lazy.
It's a cop out. You should not. There should be no way to just accept a losing season.
Yeah, none.
Not accept it because you know what comes at the end of that season: questioning the coach,
questioning the quarterback,
questioning the talent. Yeah.
That you just paid $40 million.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
This is the one thing, too, about hip-hop back in the 80s, Bart always said. Like, They yelled at you. You know, like yelling at you. Literally, you're getting yelled at the whole time. Where now everything is just like whispers and murmurs and mumbles and blah, 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 blah. Back then, like, man, you're just getting like yelled
when
at.
When you old heads.
You must learn! Like that KRS-One just screamed at you, and you're like, all right, where's the book? I'll learn.
Yo, we got to come with that EPMD. So what you saying, Jacob? You got that on your Serato? I don't like you old heads always taking shots at new school hip-hop. Well, y'all are just all salty. It's the same thing with the NBA, like sports in general and
what
entertainment.
What do you mean?
With the 80s and 90s, music will never be the same. No, the NBA, no. Remember,
music and basketball.
Men were men.
Yes, music and basketball were its best in the late 80s to late 90s.
Just because that's like nostalgic for you.
No, that's just
fact. You can never let go of,
it's not
right,
letting go.
When
it's
I was
fact.
A kid, this is when it was better.
When you were a kid, you were alive for this.
No, I'm saying that's what you guys do.
No.
Like LeBron.
I think it's right.
I know LeBron is, you know, big, fast, and strong, mm-hmm. but he would not have been able to survive those 80s and 90s.
I disagree. I never said that.
But the old folks who say that. It's weird. It's crazy.
Just LeBron wouldn't have been LeBron. They wouldn't have let him.
I don't know what Drake would have been able to do in the 90s when he's going up against, you know, the Wu-Tangs and the all-time greats.
Ate him alive. Guy'd be on a rowboat leaving Staten Island.
The Dre's and the Snoops.
He wouldn't even make the ferry. He would just get a rowboat at that point.
That's crazy.
Get me out of here.
He would just be
Sheldon, get me back to the six.
But do it. But do it the reverse. Do we say like, oh, Jordan, if he played now, he would average 50.
He literally would, in his prime Jordan today.
But there's no three-point shot. How about that?
What do you mean there's no three-point shot?
Well, he wasn't able to shoot threes back then.
So he wouldn't. He just wouldn't learn how to shoot a three?
I love that you said that because that's the checkmate. LeBron wouldn't have learned to be more physical back then.
So you're trying to
Drake wouldn't have learned to be more of a lyricist.
Are you trying to tell me?
Rap.
Are you trying to tell me and J.J. Redick that Bob Cousy, if he played today, would be Bob Cousy?
No, Bob Cousy would be sitting right next to Udonis Haslem during tonight's game.
What would he be doing there? Asking him Udonis Haslem what towel he wanted?
Yeah, like, no, just man. Like sitting there like, yeah, I don't know. These guys are too fast for me.
Exactly.
It's a lot of threes being
like
taken.
Some things are like that. Like
some things are transferable between
and
eras.
Some things aren't.
I don't know. I just always take it
offensively. I guess what it is our generation looks at what we saw as something that really, like we saw the growth of it. Basketball, the NBA became what it became, right? And before our eyes. Hip-hop became what it became before our eyes. And it's like, this is what you did with it? You know what I mean? Like it's like, you know what? I own this house. I put all this work into it. I made it beautiful. Then I gave it to you. I come back 10 years later. I go, what the hell did you do with the place?
But you guys also overrate what happened. And it's like, well, did you see MJ driving into the lane against Bill Laimbeer? He threw him down. Was that happening in every single game for the whole decade? No, that wasn't what was happening.
No, of course not.
Y'all overrated. Y'all overstated just to toot your own narrative.
Fair enough. I'll give you that. But we can. So we do it. And you got to listen. Respect your elders. All right. You know what time it is. It's time for us to step aside and let the headline makers do the talking in the segment we like to call
Audio Files.
Audio file.
Say it with your chest. And let's say it with a little pinstripe report brought to you by Samuel Institute for Pain Management. That's the Yankees last night lose 1-0 in it was a pitcher's duel. It certainly was. To the Seattle Mariners and to a this is the story now that we get a lot. It's the story of kid that grew up. And I'm playing against the team I rooted for. And that was George Kirby last night, who was literally unhittable. Like, he was unbelievable. Gave up 3 hits, no walks at all. Great control, 8 shutout innings. The Mariners end up walking it off in the 10th. They get the win. He faced Aaron Judge, got him 3 times. Judge hit one pretty deep, though, on him, but it stayed in the park. And Judge circled back past the mound, kind of gave him a smirk. And even like Kirby said after the game, he was like, I was like, woof. Like, damn. So for him, it was obviously personal on many levels, but he's had a really good season. Grew up in Rye, New York, not too far away from Yankee Stadium. And so what it felt like for him to face his childhood team.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. I felt like a playoff game, like atmosphere, like jitters I had. It was great. Yeah, I felt really good today.
Felt great.
Yankees had scored 10-plus runs in three straight games. Got blinked last night.
Mm-hmm.
Can't get too mad at it. Four-game win streak halted, but they're playing so much better. I'm looking forward to this weekend against the Dodgers. Nice little test against a team that could come out of the National League.
Yankees. And a lot of guys showing up at L.A. now all of a sudden, for the team. We'll see. Some guys were sent down.
Stanton, Canely could be back.
Oh, by the way, shout out to Clark Schmidt. Good start for him.
Oh, a 5 2/3.
Yeah, good start for him.
Didn't completely implode the way we are used to seeing him.
We're waiting for that to happen.
But yeah, Stanton.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Rizzo's back.
Yeah, he was available last night, just didn't use him.
Which I didn't understand.
Weird. Yeah.
If he's available.
But Donaldson and Stanton, yes, are expected to be in LA. So that's good.
And Tommy Canely as well.
Which is actually very encouraging considering everything that he has been through. All right, so meanwhile, we have an NBA Finals tonight. Game one between the Nuggets and the Miami Heat. Miami Heat get there because they were able to hold off the Celtics. After going up 3-0 in the Eastern Conference Finals, the Celtics suddenly win three in a row to force a game seven. And yet Miami goes to Boston and wins on the road to get to the finals. And before they got there, Jimmy Butler shared on social media a message that a fan left him. You know you can do audio messages on Instagram. He DM'd him an audio message before game seven. Just a little bit of encouragement about not blowing the 3-0 lead.
Now, Jimmy, I don't usually do this. I don't go in people's DMs, celebrity DMs, you know, people that are higher up and beg. But damn it, Jimmy! Finish this shit, please! I mentally can't handle a 3-0 comeback, man! Please!
That's some desperation there, right?
Wow, I'm impressed. Jimmy's checking DMs from random people. Because, you know, it slides into a different, like a separate folder. It doesn't show up just in like your regular DMs.
Right, but it's the fact that that was an audio one. He must have been like, all right, what
the hell
is this? I
got
to hear this.
Here.
And it was that good, so he decided to share it.
Did you also see Coco Gauff? So, like, prior to the playoffs, you know, Miami was a playing team. Prior to the playing games,
yeah,
he's inviting her to playoffs. He said, I'm not going to have time, going to be traveling, working. He said, well, how about this? If you're back in time for the finals, we'd love to invite you to the finals just to make sure you're there to watch us.
And here's Coco Gauff on that.
He offered me tickets to see the postseason, and I said, I won't be here. I'll be in Madrid and then Rome and then France. And then he said, okay, know when we make the finals. Let me know if your family wants some tickets. So this is before we lost to the Hawks for the first play-in game. When he sent me that, I knew we were making the finals because he didn't say if we make the finals. He said when we make the finals. So now that he we're in the finals, I can say that story.
How not to do audio files 101. I just completely ruined it. I said everything she said.
You set it up, though. It was great. No, it was a setup. It was exactly what we want to do. It's a setup.
I didn't realize we had it. But
well, the other
thing
I didn't do, just so you know, because we completely, you know, this has been a mess from the start, is I never closed the Pinstripe Report, of course, which is brought to you by Samuel Institute for Pain Management. For a pain-free life, visit samuelpain.com today. Last but not least, of the stories that we want to talk about here involves the Mets and the Jets, some synergy between these two teams. As before yesterday's game, now today's game, I believe the last I checked, it was 2-0 Phillies with the morning show and all their friends at the game today.
It would be sad if they went all the way out there and watched the Mets
all that back. Effort just to watch the Mets lose, right?
Yeah, just get smoked. Sad.
Garrett Wilson threw out the first pitch. He threw it to Brett Beatty, the young third baseman for the Mets, who they grew up together. That's a great story. Brett Beatty was his quarterback. That was, I mean, again, the connection of the two of them is pretty cool. So here's Garrett Wilson just talking about being teammates with Beatty.
In the sixth grade season, we did lose some games. Once we got older in high school and we kind of filled out in ninth grade, we didn't lose a game. We were undefeated, and I don't think we had a close game, you know, so that's how that went.
And then Brett Beatty decided it hurts less to throw a baseball than it does to throw a football.
Might pay more, though, to be one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL.
That's a good point. That's true. Although, how much is Max Scherzer getting a year?
$40 million.
How much is Daniel Jones getting?
$40 million.
Okay. It hurts less to throw a baseball. Although, I don't think a third baseman is getting $40 million,
yeah,
right?
No.
Probably
He's
not. Going to have to hit a lot more home runs. Meanwhile, though, it's pretty cool, though, the connection and the fact that they both did end up in New York together. Here's Garrett Wilson on that.
Yeah, I mean, it is surreal. That's the right word for it. You know, it's crazy how small the world is that we're both able to end up in the biggest city in the world playing ball, playing the sports that we love and grew up playing and, you know, and not having the past that we had. So for me, just seeing his success is so exciting. And I know he feels the same way. And then be able to come and support him is everything to me.
That's kind of cool, though, right? All those kind of. Do you like that? Again, you're not a full New York fan because you're a Lakers fan.
No, but Jets, so, Yankees.
Yeah, you still have those two.
Rangers,
do you like,
when they're in the playoffs.
Do you like seeing that? Like Aaron Rodgers at a Knicks game.
Absolutely.
You like seeing a bunch of Jet guys show up at the Islanders playoff games. Giants, Brian Daboll at the Rangers game, and he's getting an ovation. Do you think, is that kind of a cool thing to see all of them supporting each other? Aaron Judge was at a bunch of games too, getting ovations all over
it's
the place.
It's very cool. It's very cool to see because the fact that they're all supporting each other, you play different sports, and you might not even follow the sport that the other sport. But to see y'all just chilling and having that connection that, you know, Wilson and Beatty has, it's dope for Wilson to sit in there watching his former teammate play. I think it's pretty cool. And I was actually at the Knick game, one of the Knick games where Rodgers was showing on the Jumbotron, and, you know, that's my quarterback. So of course I feel great about that.
Yeah, it. I think what it does is it makes what's a really big town feel smaller.
Yes.
That's what it, right? It makes the big town feel smaller.
Because we're all connected.
Right.
Nasty Nestor showing up on a Jumbotron at the Garden.
Anytime Aaron Judge goes somewhere, not too far away, is Nestor Cortez.
Though we do need Nestor to start pitching a little better. If we're going to show you on big screens, Nasty Nestor, get your act together, buddy.
Right. Once we hit that fourth inning, short hook. All right, that's Audio Files. Good job, Ray. Good job, Jacob, as well. 800-919-3776 is the number. So, all right, so apparently Brett Beatty was a good football player, right? He plays baseball now, and he plays that very well. It made us wonder, like, if we're looking at New York athletes, who do you think could thrive in another sport?
I think the one that first comes to mind because of, I was going to say because of his size. But you could hit the
no,
buzzer.
No, you can say.
Because of his size, is Aaron Judge.
Right, but what would he play, though?
He would be a tight end in football.
Power forward.
Or basketball? Yeah. I don't know. I see Judge robbing home runs. He gives me the Gronkowski energy.
You think you can do the Gronk thing?
Yeah, just stand in the end zone.
Run around, just right.
Catch touchdown
passes.
Beast mode
someone in the end zone.
Okay. I could see him doing that.
All right, 800-919-3776.
You got an answer?
Think of me? No, I'm going to break. I just wanted to ask you.
You know what?
See if we can get calls on it.
I could see Jalen Brunson being a little running back.
Running back?
How about that?
I don't know if he's big enough. Seriously, I don't think he's big enough. Yeah, or fast enough. Right? No, but it's like if you think about it, it's very hard to do because everybody at that level, you're specific to your sport.
Vogelback could definitely be an offensive lineman. it's not like he's doing anything for the Mets right now.
Right,
so
exactly.
You want to change sports, it might not be a bad idea at this point.
Gary Sanchez, you would think, might have been a pretty good, like, you know, football center.
Shout out to him,
squat,
though. Hit a home run last night for the Padres.
On which team is he on now?
He's on the Padres.
But the problem with Gary is, like, you probably wonder what his give-a-damn level would be at, you know, at anything.
You know what's so funny?
Block this guy?
This is random. You remember he had all those issues behind the plate?
Yes.
And, like, going around social media and at sports talk was, is it that he just can't see? Is he blind? No, he sucks. That's what it is. That's the answer. He sucks. It would be better for there to be an explanation for it.
Right. Everybody does this argument. We were doing this on Get Up off camera. And I won't say who, but it was me and Tim Legler, and we were with Greeny, and we were talking about a player. And I was just like, you know, why does he do this? What's it? And then, you know, Legs is trying to explain it, like, well, maybe this, maybe that. And then Greeny just cuts us off. He goes, I'll explain it. He sucks. And we both just were like, yeah, that's probably the best assessment.
Do all this, like, deep dive analysis.
We were, too. Like, Legs and I are like, well, you know, I mean, his balance could be off, and it's this. And he's like, I'll explain it. He sucks. And that's the end of the conversation.
Akers raise him. Sometimes the simplest answer is the correct
one. He's just not that good.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
something very significant happened yesterday for you personally, and I was so excited.
I made the train.
You made the train.
That's what, that was a big
but
deal.
But prior to making the train, you were on a phone call discussing some big news, and this was something that was on your mind the entire day, giving you some anxiety, but not in a bad way, you know, in a really healthy way, if there's a such thing as healthy anxiety.
Yes.
But something significant happened. You put it on social media, got a lot of love, and we've yet to talk about it. So I understand the humility aspect, and you don't want to make it about you. It's a sports show. But can we let the masses know what transpired? Because something big's going on in the Han household.
Yes. Yeah. The culmination of many years of hard work, dedication, sacrifice, and all those things. And any parent of an athlete can understand this. So my son, Zach, who I've talked about a lot on this show and elsewhere, who literally since birth has been playing hockey. He was born into it. He learned how to skate as he was learning how to walk. And so it was a special moment yesterday. He got the call and he committed to play Division I hockey at the University of New Hampshire.
There we go, baby.
Coach Souza and company are bringing him in.
There we go.
And it's a big deal for everything he's been through. It's just special. He's 20 years old. He played 2 years of junior hockey, and you know, we made a couple of mistakes along the way. He had a great career at Taft, the school, prep school. He played well there. COVID happened, and for a lot of athletes, they lost a season. They played 5 games his senior. He was a senior co-captain, and he was set to have a big year. And as we all know, there were schools that didn't know what to do. They gave him 5 games and shut down the season. And so he literally, for an entire year, he couldn't play. I had the choice. I could have sent him to Canada to play juniors. As parents, we just, at that time, the environment, there was so much uncertainty, we just didn't take the chance to do it. And so we kept him home and had him play locally for the Junior Islanders, coached by Mike Marcoux, who, it's a great program, but it's not a high level of juniors. So you don't get as many looks at places like this. It's a risk. And we just were determined that he's good enough that if someone comes to see him, they will see what he can do. They won the championship this year in his second season. He was a co-captain again. And, you know, he blocked 113 shots. You know, that's what he does. He's not a big offensive player. He's more of a shut-you-down, tough physical defenseman. And so he got noticed. He got seen, and he defied a lot of odds to be seen. And New Hampshire liked what they saw and wanted him to be part of what they're doing going forward.
And one of the odds he defied was they had one slot for a defenseman. One slot.
Yeah.
He's younger than, you know, all of the other prospects they could have gone to.
Well, the portal allows schools to just get, you know, transfer seniors or transfer juniors and bring experienced guys in. And they looked at him as somebody that they can develop. And he can come in. They know he could play. But they also know that the potential for him and what he can be in the next couple of years, and they're betting on that, which, you know, again, that's what makes this a great fit for him. So, again, I just it's a great moment for us. It's not about us, but it is as a family. But for him, you know, again, only athletes understand this, that they've been through this, is that you reach a certain point in your life where you're a teenager and there's a sacrifice of, all right, I'm going for it, so there's things I just can't do that normal kids, you know, can have fun doing. I'm not going to be able to do that because he wakes up and it's, you know, what he drinks, what he eats, the workout he gets in. He works out at this place called AMP in Syosset, a great place. He's been doing that since he's 16. And it's just dedication to things that he has to do. Weekends where he goes to play in tournaments, summers where he just has to go to camps and go to these places, and all hoping that one day you get a shot to play at the highest level possible. And, you know, UNH is a great program with an amazing arena on a great campus in one of the best hockey conferences in the country, Hockey East. And so for him to have this opportunity is a dream come true, and it was special. And the funny thing is for him, I'm the emotional one, right? I'm the one that's all fired up. He has a meeting with them, a Zoom meeting, but there's no resolution. But you know, they talk and they tell him how much they like him and all that stuff. But he tells me, as you know, yesterday before the show, he's like, nothing that they didn't offer me. I don't know. but I want to go there. So he's already now in his mind, that's where I want to go. But now he's waiting for them to say, okay, you're in. And then the show ends, and I'm walking out, and I'm just thinking, like, how many more days are we going to have to wait? Because there were other schools, that very good schools, that he had options to go to as well, but we were making them wait because he really wanted to go to UNH. And he calls me, and he's like, I just committed. I'm like, all right, great. So tell me about it. Hang on. I'm playing golf. I got a hit now. He puts the phone down. I hear the golf club swing. He picks it up. He's like, all right, I'm going in the golf club. I'll call you later. And he hangs up. I'm like, what? Like, that's it. Like, for him, it's like, I've always expected this. So it just happened, and I'm good. I'm playing golf with my boys. I'm, like, walking to the train station. I'm, like, on air. Like, what just happened? You know, like, it's just thinking of 10 years of driving in cold weather, driving in the winter, sitting in a hotel waiting between games, sitting in a freezing rink. You know, watching all these different tournaments, different games, different places, lessons that we've had to take him to, coaches who have coached him, conversations we've had. Oh, my God. Like, it just – all that's hitting me, and I'm just like, I got nobody to hug. You know what I mean? So, like, it's great. And everybody that's heard me talk about him, and everybody's heard the stories throughout the years of me going to different tournaments, and I've taken a Combrex with me every now and then and done shows from hotels – because I'm with him on a hockey trip. It's going to be amazing to watch him play at that level and to take these trips now and take the Comrex with me and do a show from New Hampshire, because they got a game at the Wit and it's going to be packed and rocking, and, you know, they're going to play Maine and kick their ass. I love it.
Go Wildcats.
Go Wildcats. Yeah. Appreciate it.
Yo, congratulations, man.
Yeah.
Congratulations. No, that's awesome.
Appreciate it. It'd be great. So, yes, and of course, the play-by-play of his first goal we will have on Audio Files in one future show.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.